The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's a piece yours truly hosted, and I hope you will enjoy. Joining me from abroad, David Kirkpatrick of the New York Times. He is the author of Into the Hands of the Soldiers, Freedom and Chaos in Egypt and the Middle East. You will recall about 2 months ago, David joined me for a long interview about Into the Hands of the Soldiers, which I consider to be a must-read primer on the Middle East. And he joins me today to talk about the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi, who is his friend. David, welcome. What was your relationship with Jamal Khashoggi?
Well, he was a source. You know, he was somebody I was friendly with in the sense that we would have lunch together and chit-chat. You know, not someone I would have over to my house for dinner or something like that. But, you know, I knew him. We all knew him. He was a hard guy not to like.
And that is what I have been told by the many people I've talked to about this. About a half an hour ago, Mohammed Yahya posted this. Saudi website says Riyadh authorities will summon the 15 people, parens, who Turkey claims were the hit team that killed Khashoggi, close parens, to ask them what they were doing in Istanbul on the day Khashoggi died. What do you see happening, David?
Well, the mood music for a while has indicated that Saudi Arabia would pin the blame on some scapegoat in their security services, that Turkey was likely to accept that explanation as long as Saudi Arabia acknowledged that Jamal Khashoggi had been killed inside the consulate in Istanbul. And that seems like the way things are headed at this hour. Last night, a well-informed source who knows what the court's up to told me that Saudi Arabia had identified the person they are going to say is responsible. He put it more earnestly and said the person that is responsible, someone in the intelligence services who knows Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman personally and felt like he, this person in intelligence, had the authorization to carry out some kind of a rendition, and that went horribly wrong. If you've been following Saudi Arabia or you've been following this story, that doesn't seem terrifically plausible, but it's convenient for Saudi Arabia, for Turkey, and for the United States to find a way to move on.
This is the Henry II defense from when the English king said, "No, well, will no one rid me of this troublesome priest?" And four of his knights go off and slaughter Thomas of Becket in Canterbury Cathedral. It works in, you know, the 12th century. I'm not sure it works today, David, absent a public judicial proceeding that the West can pursue. What do you think?
Well, what does works mean? You know, for governments, I mean, governments make do with partial truths fairly often. The court of public opinion is a different matter. I think at this point, after all that we've seen leaked by Turkish officials and all that's been confirmed, it's going to be hard for Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to repair his reputation. You know, he'd gotten pretty far in the West as a reformer and somebody who was going to open up the kingdom, kind of an innovator and a new kind of leader for Saudi Arabia. I think he's going to have a lot of trouble now getting the kind of selfies with Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg that he's been accustomed to.
If, in fact, the person that has been identified to you by a good source as likely to be pointed to as the prime mover of the rendition gone bad implicates MBS in ordering the rendition, does that do you think the royal court changes in succession?
There's two elements there. First of all, I think this person, this intelligence official who's going to take the blame, if that person is tried, that person will be tried in a Saudi court. So that's not the kind of court we're used to where the defendant might have an opportunity to blame the crown prince. Second of all, you know, in the past, a crown prince who came under this kind of a cloud might have trouble with the succession. Saudi Arabia has changed. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman has consolidated power like no figure in the kingdom in decades. He holds all the key levers. And so the best handicapping is that there's no one in a position to change him, to challenge him. While there are many people in the kingdom who are enjoying criticizing him over this, he's made many enemies along the way, none of them seems to have enough heft to push him out of the line of succession, as long as his dad is okay with it. And his dad is elderly and may not be that competent right now.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo wrapped up a very brief meeting with the king not too long ago. Is he expected to meet with MBS when he's there?
I'm expecting that he will. I don't know the details of his schedule.
All right. So is it possible that there is within the government, this is just a range of possibilities. I'm giving you the second option, which is you accept responsibility, but not guilt. The other one is you say someone was trying to take me out. The rogue operative was actually working to advance the exiled faction of the royals that I had imprisoned at the Ritz-Carlton. Has that been floated anywhere yet?
No, you know, and to be honest, cynical as I am, I expected that's what they would go with. I expected we would hear that this rogue operative was associated with some old regime. But in fact, what I'm told we're going to hear is that the rogue operative is someone who actually was a friend of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, who felt like he had the okay from the Crown Prince to do this rendition, and who was trying to make a name for himself, who was trying to impress everybody with his daring do and be a quote-unquote James Bond. And it went horribly wrong.
That is the Henry II. That is pure Henry II Thomas Becket parallel. Will that be enough for the United States? John Bolton and I talked about this. At that point, he said, we don't have the facts. It's the Middle East. Anything is possible. That was last Thursday. Would the Henry II defense be sufficient for the United States?
Well, a key question here is, has Turkey shared its intelligence? Right. Turkish officials have leaked to many people, including me, that they are in possession of audio and maybe video of from inside the consulate showing who did what in the assassination. You know, they've got the goods. If they've shared that with their U.S. intelligence counterparts, who often work very closely with the Turks, then that's one thing. And if they haven't, if they've only briefed about it, that's another. That diminishes the degree of seriousness for the U.S. and diminishes the pressure on the U.S. to try to pursue this. It depends on what the Turks have shared, really.
All right. Now, does it impact, for example, the war in Yemen? This is actually where it comes home. This is the anti-Iran alliance being stressed. This is Jordan and Egypt and Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates and Israel and America trying to confront the Houthis, who are sending rockets into Saudi Arabia that are made in Iran. Does this break that anti-Iranian alliance, which many of us have welcomed as being a necessary course correction in the Middle East?
I'm not sure this has any impact on the Iranian alliance. I don't see the United Arab Emirates or Israel or Egypt showing any squeamishness whatsoever about what's been done here. And so far, it looks like President Trump is very willing to accept this explanation. He was even yesterday, you know, getting ahead of the Saudis and already suggesting that this was a rogue operator before the Saudis had begun to float that explanation themselves. So I think the geopolitics are likely to remain unchanged so long as the succession inside Saudi Arabia is unchanged.
And therefore, arms sales uninterrupted. The American public accepts it and moves on because it is an exotic story. It reads like a thriller. Jamal Khashoggi has a lot of friends, but it is very difficult to keep a story like this above the fold for very long, David Kirkpatrick.
Yeah, I think where, as I tried to say before, where it's going to hit the Crown Prince is with elite opinion. You know, in Wall Street and Silicon Valley, he's enjoyed the company of those people. He's worked hard to get them to invest in Saudi Arabia, to bring their businesses and their insights and their know-how to help diversify the Saudi economy. He's going to find it very hard to be a front man for that sort of effort. And that's not trivial, because Saudi Arabia, over the not too long term, has got some real issues in terms of being able to support their economy on their oil revenue.
So last question, David Kirkpatrick, when Into the Hands of the Soldiers goes into a paperback edition, is this going to be the foreword? Because this is, I don't know if it's a turning point or a bump in the road.
You know, too soon to tell. We'll have to see.
Well, I appreciate your coming to join me. David Kirkpatrick on the New York Times, author of Into the Hands of the Soldiers, which is the definitive. You've got to read it to understand what the Arab Spring was about, what happened to the Arab Spring, where the new entente comes from, and how it is going to endure or not endure. Thank you, David. That's just so great to be able to talk to someone who actually knows what they're doing on Saudi Arabia. It's very difficult. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy, where they're preparing leaders for the public square. Application deadline for fall classes is June 15. It might be the right step for you or a recent college graduate in your life. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.